Payne Scogg and Bob Scogg and Pam Porter Hero and Al Hero and Barry McKay, all of whom grew up in Westboro, not were born in Westboro. And we're not gonna, you don't have to take it to Westboro.
And unless the library really wants a copy, which they won't, I don't think.
growing up,
my past wasn't that good.
What you remember of Lyman School? Some.
What I was going to say, the only thing I really remember about the Lyman School was the two things actually. They used to have students come down and go to the Westboro High School. I only really remember one, but I guess there were others too.
They had most of them lived on farms or someone's house. Quite often worked on the farms.
This is out.
Yeah, they were, in quote, I suppose, it could be called trustees. But a lot of those kids weren't really very bad. In the first place, they were kids whose parents didn't want them. And so, said they were incorrigible and got a judge to put them away.
And a place to go.
And then they learned the tricks of the trade and ended up graduating Shirley and the Walpole and so forth. But
while they were in Westboro, however, some of them stayed in outlying farms.
Sure. And just playing homes, I guess, too.
I don't remember that. I thought they were all...
There was one that lived at DeBoer's farm, I think, one at Bavarian's. We had a kid in our class named Turner, who only was with us for about a year because he swatted Kitty Devon across the face with a newspaper one day. She was the 8th grade junior high English teacher. And then there was year ahead of me in 55, the youngest kid graduating was a Lyman School kid. He was very bright, nice kid. I don't know whatever became of him. Went back to Boston.
There wouldn't be very many in any class, maybe one or two.
We had one in my class who graduated with very good grades and went on to college, and he's a high school teacher now.
And these were kids that usually lived then in the homes and the farms that went to the public high school.
Yeah.
You don't remember the band or any other, but did parents, did people work at the Lyman School? Is that part of
it? The only one I remember was Bob Brown, the minister.
He was very involved. Yeah.
There was Bob Tebow, used to be a supervisor up there, I think, of the lockup or whatever.
Charlie Fornia, the high school teacher, junior high teacher, his father was something up there. Lyman School, and Walter Jackman's, the house that's right on the street right across from Bergson's, the one that's kind of ramshackle now, that was Cleves and Jackman lived in that house, they both worked there, and I don't know just what they did there.
How did you feel about it? Growing up in Framingham, we were always threatened with Lyman School.
We were
too.
The only thing I really remember about it is hearing about an occasional breakout and stolen car on Milk Street.
A lot of stolen cars.
Well, not a lot, but I mean that's the only stolen car you ever heard about. It usually was on Milk Street.
I grew up on Robin Road, which was
close
off of Milk Street, and our neighbors across the street had their car stolen.
I lived on Fisher Street, and they used to follow the railroad tracks because that was, you know, they could have something to follow, but it was dark, and they occasionally, I don't know if anyone ever stole anything right around me, but that was quite often they'd catch them. Also, they were getting them from the Grafton State Hospital, who would come out and come down the railroad tracks, and Westboro State too.
This seemed like a high-risk area, actually, growing up here.
Well, they're all closed down now.
They are closed down now. But when you were growing up, Westboro State was still pretty active. I know there were up to 2,000 patients at Westboro State at the highest time, perhaps. Did a lot of people in town work at Westboro State? What was the relationship between the hospital and the town?
I had a sister that worked there for a short time. She wasn't too happy after she had a few problems.
Mostly attendants, nurses, this type of caretakers, office.
Yeah, office workers.
And There was a farm once.
There was a farm, you could smell the pigs.
Pig farm? I don't know if that was.
There was a pig farm?
I hope to stay in hospital and not have a mushroom.
And if you went the other direction to Grafton, they had a farm as well, and there were some professional, quote, farmers there that ran the equipment and supervised the people, because the patients worked there, and I'm sure that it was the same in Westboro, that they worked the fields and so forth, and it was almost therapy that got them outside. And there was also a farm at Lyman School. The kids worked that under strict supervision. They grew a lot of the stuff they ate, I guess.
Yeah. I don't think the community ever felt threatened, though, by the state hospitals.
No.
I think the Lyman School, the fact that they didn't steal some cars and things like that.
That was the worst thing.
Yeah.
But it was
it wasn't a lot of stolen cars, but really the only thing I ever heard about, you know, the only stolen cars you heard about was...
We used to stand in front of Ford's store, the newspaper store, town. We would stand there and light a cigarette. Watch the kids would arrive. This would be in the 50s, early 50s. Someone from Lyman School would drive down, and he'd let one of the boys come with him. Because they brought him in with him. They didn't leave him sitting in the car. This is terrible to admit. We'd light a cigarette and throw it on the sidewalk and watch how fast they'd snipe it and stick it in their pocket. Because cigarettes were like money to them. They could trade them for all sorts of things up there. And we didn't just throw it down with nothing on it. We'd light it first. I suppose that made it legitimate. they'd have it out and in their pocket in one quick move. That's awful.
Hey, they got a cigarette out of the grass. Who knows? They could have traded away for something good. So you didn't have a feeling that they were very hardened criminals there whatsoever.
No. They were just the bad boys. Just whatever boys were supposed to be.
If you ever went up, we'd go to the movies there occasionally. The man across the street from me worked there, and Arthur Bishop. I would go up, he would have kids come to his house and polish his car. I don't know if he paid them or not, but they were there for the day. But then he would take me to the movies there occasionally, and you'd watch them file in, and they started in, and I still can't believe there weren't kids up there who were 6, 7 years old. They'd start in, and they were little bitty kids right up to high school.
Were you able to use the facilities there at all?
Yes.
What kinds of things did you go
to? We used to use
swimming pool. Swimming pool, basketball courts.
Catholic churches, CYC used to go up to use the swimming pool pretty frequently.
Someone said something about a toboggan run.
That's on the back side. It goes over to the fishing game. It's a long hill there. It's the suicide run.
Did you ever do it?
No. my father used to do it when he was a kid. But I guess it was basically a suicide run. The hill never stopped. It didn't level out. It just was a hill. It just stopped dead, I don't know if it was in the woods or what.
Big tree.
Or a road or something. I think they said they used to come down right across Mill Street.
Now, could the town use Lyman School any time, with a certain days or the week?
I don't know.
I mean, could you go up and play basketball anytime you wanted?
No, it was always with... Bob Brown was the assistant minister at that church, and he was very involved up there, so we used to make all the arrangements.
So it wasn't like every Saturday you could go swimming in Lyman School?
No, it was still a prison.
I think we went up once or twice a year swimming.
Once Lyman School was closed, though, there was a roller skating rink that was used. That was every Saturday, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And the swimming pool was
in
69 or 70?
That was the late 60s.
Right after
they closed. I think they left about 68 or 69, they shut that down. And the town got access to that right away. At least the pool and the roller skating.
But didn't keep it for too long, unfortunately. A couple of years. Tell me what downtown was like. That's what I'm interested in. What the stores are that you remember, and what the factories are, and where your parents would work. The whole feeling of the town. Just think about Right, you're standing at the town hall and you're walking down.
Swan's Hardware.
Yeah. Swan's was always there.
That was Eddie Heckman.
What was the Wagner's Bakery?
Used to walk by that on the way to school.
I believe it was owned
by
the Heckmans, the whole family. And
Ned Heckman's dad.
Wagner's had the best eclairs. We used to go there after school.
But before you got to Wagner's, it was Chamberlain's store.
Was Chamberlain's there?
Yeah.
Is that right? I remember that name,
what
but
about
I didn't
the 5 and 10?
That was on the next one.
Okay. Well, yeah, Chamberlain's was what kind of a market, though?
It was a market where he reached up and took the stuff off the shelves for you. And he also delivered to your home. So a lot of people, you know, a friend of mine was a delivery boy for him. He pedaled around with his bike and he delivered bags of groceries. They'd call him and he would bag it up. It was small.
An old-fashioned market.
Yeah, and he had, incidentally, he had probably one of the finest collections of Indian arrowheads and that sort of thing.
From Westboro.
I don't know where it is now. He was famous for it.
What was his first name?
Harold.
Okay. My brother used to go out digging arrowheads years ago. Oldest brother.
This was Herman's, but that was on the other side.
Where Carlson Daniels is now.
Now this is on the same side though. It's after
Wagner's.
After the rally,
the next door was Herman's.
The 5 and 10 was on.
It was the 5 and 10 though. Mills.
No, but before that it was Herman's.
It was Herman's first. Then it became a 5 and 9, and then it went across the street.
And that's.
One of the day girls worked for Bill Ford, and the other one worked
for the 5 and 10.
Yeah. Right. Bill Ford was
the newsroom. Anyone who lives in Westboro calls it Bill Ford still. They don't call it the newsroom. Bill Ford's
was a popular hangout because there was a coffee shop downstairs.
We were still into skinny candy.
Underneath those racks of cars, those stairs.
It was still the same kind of all-purpose or cigarettes and cards and
newspapers.
And this was my story. This is the one I've been saving. Okay. In the 50s, I used to, every night around 7 o'clock or so, I used to go into Bill Ford's and take a wagon out of the back and drag it up to the train depot and pick up the newspapers. Used to throw off the train, the Boston papers, and then drag them back to Bill Ford's to sell.
And where did you pick them up? At the depot?
At the depot, yeah. Good job.
Your little red wagon.
With my little red wagon walking down the street. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that was neat.
Then we'll get back to the train after going down the street. After Bill Ford's.
The electric.
That's where the spectacle shop is now.
You could buy electric appliances and pay your bill there. It was an attractive woman who worked there. So,
that was my mother.
Alright. Now we get the electric company.
Was it Mason's Jewelry?
Jay Baron Mason.
The liquor store was next. That's still there. It used to only be on the Main Street side. It was a very small store.
So there was a liquor store, and then J. Baron Mason's Jewelry.
Which is where the balloon shop
the
is.
So that was a jewelry store for a long time.
Only one in Westboro until Page came.
Now, when did Page come?
Page came in the 50s.
Had to be really good. He was there as long as I remember.
Yeah.
He moved into town in the 60s.
Let's cross the street and start at the cemetery.
Westboro Savings Bank. First National Bank in Westboro.
The old downtown pharmacy was
Blankenship's.
Yeah, first it was Blankenship's.
Now there used to be a newsroom.
Don't you remember Blankenship's?
The very, very first newsroom was on that side, but it wasn't there then.
No, there was Blankenship's, then the pharmacy, which
was
Blankenship's?
Is that after the bank?
Yeah. after the bank.
Not the Hudson Shop, the...
Where Golden's is now.
Was Blankenship's? And what, that was a dress place also, or?
Mostly women's clothing, and children's.
Yeah, just women's.
Western Savings, Blankenship's, and then drugstore?
No, the drugstore was down, further on the corner, not on the corner, but further down.
Well...
First National was on the corner.
First National was on the corner.
Used to be the drugstore was very narrow.
Very, very narrow.
That was owned by Haveray, and it was a Rexall drugstore.
Is that beside the First National?
But there was something else.
No, it was Blankenship's, and then something, and then the drugstore.
No, but I think Rexall's, the old Rexall's, was only half of what those stores are now. Because I remember it being very narrow.
Yeah,
it was like Minuteman one. Travel is not a big store, but it's fairly wide, and the drugstore is about half that size. So I think they must have knocked a wall in.
Well, they enlarged.
Somewhere there.
They enlarged the drugstore after the First National. Wasn't the drugstore on the corner?
The First National. Yes, it was.
Yes. After the First National.
Yes. It was.
Well, what is now the Circle and the Automotive used to be First National.
All right.
The two stores now used to be one store, used to be the First National.
All right, so that was one market. You had Chamberlain's and Prospect. But then going from the First National going towards the cemetery then you had the drugstore beside the First National.
I don't remember. We had to be close.
I think so.
And then this Blankenship's.
Yeah.
Westboro Savings and a First National Bank.
First National Bank is before Westboro Savings. Westboro Savings is where it is now.
Uh-huh. And then right beside it was First National Bank.
Yes, which is now Guaranteed.
Okay, they used to be First National.
All right. Now we're crossing the street to where...
Excuse me, there used to be another floor in the whole block, too.
Yeah.
They took that down about, 15 years ago. In fact, it was for the center, right before the centennial, I believe. Right, 65, 66, I think it's came down.
That was
right
the post office block. It was an old block, it was an 1800s block.
I don't remember if there was a fire there, that's why it came down, or what, but they took the top floor off.
The Guarantee took some off the Pratt Day loan, because it was just decrepit.
Completely run down.
It wasn't rentable, and it was cheaper to
put a new roof on.
So now we're at Milk Street. Across over Milk Street in the arcade building. And
the bowling alley was in
there. The bowling alley, that's
right.
On
the corner.
Mom Eggs ran the bowling alley. Right.
Mom Eggs. Tell me about Mom Eggs bowling alley.
Yeah.
Where was it?
It was, you know where the Piccadilly Pub is? Well, instead of going down, you went up. To that, where you, the old carpet place used to be?
Yeah.
Magic. Calcor's, Magic. Anyway, I think there were about four alleys in there.
Yeah.
Four or five alleys.
Yeah.
And they had pin sales.
Yeah, boys.
Yeah, yeah, boys used to go down
two
and work.
2 cents a string.
That's where I learned to bowl with the brownie tour.
Yeah.
That's what they got paid for, seven pins, not what you paid for.
Set pins, right. And how long did the bowling alley go along? Ever since, do you remember it? Or
yeah. I knew it was
early,
there, but I never,
early
60s I never went
it
in.
Went out.
I've been hearing about it, but I never went in.
Well, the Chronotype office was there.
Chronotype office was next door, and that was Art Leland. When I was growing up, they ran that.
Yeah.
Artemis Leland, who also was a pretty good golfer.
What a wonderful Artemis.
In front of that block, where the dress store is at, what was that first called? Before the Hudson Shop, it was
and there's the Lords.
Lords has
always
been
there. Lords has been there.
Time.
I was told today that the guy that works,
Duckworth.
Yeah, Duckworth worked for Mr. Lord when he was a kid. And eventually just evolved into the ownership of Lords.
And the shoe repair has been there.
That's
it's
been
always
there.
Been
Berkeley's was somewhere.
Berkeley's
was
the one.
Berkeley's
was in shop and
a woman's
regalia, whatever it is now. That was Berkeley.
Interesting, that's still a woman's clothing, and it seems like
yeah,
they stay, the personalities of the shops stay, the names change, but the...
And the other thing that might have been across the street, where we're trying to think before, wasn't the barber shop across the street. It wasn't where it is now, sanitary barber shop. That was.
I think it was next to the drugstore.
Next to the drugstore.
And that's probably what's now made into one storefront. That's right. I think it was. And I think that they took the sign out front. The spinning sign was.
Yeah.
Well, what was where Phil is?
We had a cobbler. Is there another?
There was a barber shop there too.
There was a barber shop.
It's interesting. Barber and cobbler in the same place.
And Sam Kornblum was the cobbler there during the 50s and 60s.
Kornblum.
K-O-R-E-B-L-U-M.
I understand.
K-O-R-E-N-B-L-U-M.
His sons took that over, I thought.
Yeah,
I believe, because he was there up until the late 60s, and I think that his sons took it over. I don't know if they're still there now, but they took it over. In the late 60s, I
Doug Emmon in the early 50s was a shoeshine boy. He also washed floors there, swept the barber shop, and did the floors at Page's. He's now at Halifax, Alden Electronics, and he's got a good job there. I don't know what he's talking about. He's the director there.
So.
Before that, it was a Puritan restaurant. It was called the Greeks.
Oh, yeah?
A Puritan Greek?
No, always had the sign the Puritan restaurant had a Puritan
I only remember Angelo's because you weren't allowed in there.
That's right. And in the back room.
Never seen it.
Yeah, it was really dark.
Wait a minute.
Campbell tells a story about Angelo's.
Angelo's was just what kind of, was it an Italian Greek restaurant? What were we doing?
No, it was Italian. Yeah,
basic. The bar room. It was
more a bar room. Yeah. It was a
bar was
old
in the back.
50s bar room, though. You know, like mostly men, very dark.
The back room.
The
back room, yeah. That's where the bar was.
The bar was, and then the front was booths.
Yep. Where
you go now to get pizza.
I still don't
What's your story?
When we moved into town in 1960, just before we moved in, my mother would bring us up, the four of us kids. I was the youngest. We would go up to the house and do some cleanup work or whatever to help prepare the house to move into. And one day my mother was looking for a place to bring us to eat, so she marched the four of us down the hill, down to Angelo's. And I don't think Angelo's was ever the same again. My mother walked in with these four little kids. And we were really from the stick, so it was quite an eye-opener. So we had the fastest hamburger they could get us. So we got out fast.
Not a family restaurant.
We used to play cards in the back room. And
it was very quiet while we were in there.
You could make a bet in there, too. Sort of, officially or unofficially, it was a place you could go and get some money down. And it was, you could go in. When I was young, you could go in there. I mean, it wasn't fancy, but you wouldn't be embarrassed in the front, in the bar you would be. But there were other bars that were much worse than that.
Who were they?
The Golden Rooster.
We're getting there. Golden Rooster. Okay.
No, again, no.
Now, I understand that Angelo's had very good food.
Yes.
Italian food. I never ate there, but a place I used to work, one of the ladies that worked there used to go down to Angelo's for lunch. And, you know, if I didn't see what she brought back, I'd wonder what she went down for, but she'd bring back meatball sandwiches and stuff, which were very good.
Yep.
She may have gone down for it. Couple quick ones while she was there. I don't know.
And the Puritan
sandwiches were good.
Before that, Barry, the Puritan restaurant was run by the Greeks.
It was called. In fact, Angelo's was still called the Greeks when it was Angelo's for a long time.
But it was
the
owner was a Greek.
Well, apparently, I don't know.
The Puritan owner.
The Puritan restaurant was owned by someone who was called the Greek, I guess. But they called the restaurant the Greeks. Let's go to the Greeks and have a beer.
Interesting. All right, so we get you past Angelo's back room. Where are we now?
We're across the street.
I think that woman's food
That was Gilly's. Gilly's, was it? Gilly was his name, Gilbert. But it was the same.
This is the Burnside building, right?
It was a beauty shop. I don't know what it was, modern beauty shop.
modern,
modern,
yeah.
It still is.
No, she's got a degree. I think her daughter has it now.
Music teacher, Ellen Rassish.
Oh, you really know.
Whose, whose mother sold candy at the Strand Theater.
We haven't got there yet either.
But he didn't marry her. He married someone else, which was sad too.
Before you go, this is between Summer Street. We're at Summer Street
corner,
now.
Right where
now,
it still is.
Going up Summer Street was
A&P.
It was a barbershop, right?
Barbershop. Phil's?
That little junk shop now that's now closed.
Yeah.
That was a little barbershop.
He's still around town, and he is, you could probably tell your tales. He's in his 80s, and you'd think he was about 50.
What was his name?
Italian last name.
Okay.
Lives down on some.
A&P came after that, and where's the A&P related to what's there now?
The brick
building. The karate
club.
The
karate
and the
dance
studio.
Studio. Spags owned
that
for a while, I believe, in some warehouse space.
Right. So
what I remember about
first
that
national
was fresh
A&P.
Coffee.
Yeah,
fresh coffee?
Always
the coffee.
Fresh ground
oh, yeah.
coffee.
They used to put the beans in there and grind it up while you waited.
All right. Then what? Where
was
the stream?
There was an apartment house.
Which is still there.
The
Gerard.
Building.
The survey is.
Yeah,
that's still
a tall red one. Is that still
that's
there?
Still
the
there.
Brick
one's
yeah.
still there.
Yeah.
It's right after.
And then there's a more modern one.
Then there's a more modern one.
Yeah, that's
the
Strand.
Strand
came next.
That's where
torn
that,
down.
Where that modern
replaced.
One is.
Now, you remember, the Strand was always there when you were growing up.
Yeah.
That was Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Toby.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, it was there, at least you know, in the 50s and 60s.
Oh, yeah.
When it was
about 61, it was closed down because it was open for about a year when we moved into town in 1960, and that was it.
In fact, I heard someone say that it was open during the Depression, and they gave out carnival glass or Depression glass.
Well, they played silent films there at one time because, at least the story was, and I don't have any eyewitnesses, but Arlene Massey played the piano there.
Really?
And then her mother.
Look at the music teacher.
Yes.
She was the only music.
Who are we talking
to? But her mother then was the candy sales when I was
that.
Growing up. Yeah. And Mr. Toby,
I could see her playing
I don't know.
This is downtown Westboro again, and we were talking about the Strand. To go there. Well, just, what, double feature?
Double features on Saturday
afternoon.
Yeah,
in the newsreel.
Newsreel
and
at least
cartoon.
One cartoon. And it was about 20 cents when I can remember. 14 cents, I thought.
Best I remember was a quarter.
Saturday
Monster
Day
or anything?
No,
oh,
Saturday.
Yeah.
The Giant Claw, that's what.
The
Giant Claw.
Your first girlfriend?
The
back.
Is that the
movie
or the
girlfriend?
That was his nickname.
No, he's got another story.
Now, nobody remembers a blacksmith here, I'm sure. Was there, what was that between? There was
I know where he was.
Yeah.
He was just
yeah.
beyond the Unitarian Church on the corner of...
there was one in the middle of Summer Street. Yeah, there's one on Cross Street.
Is there? Cross Street. Just beyond
Cross
the
Street
corner.
Had a blacksmith.
I don't remember it. I just know that that's where.
All right. You don't remember. Because I was wondering whether the farms,
Jackson.
There were dairy farms that shipped milk out from a loading area, but maybe before the 50s, because they went to Deerfoot Farms in Southbrook. But when you were growing up, there was... In between South Street or Summer Street and Milk, what was there?
Summer
this
Street.
This across
Milk?
From the Strand
with
the Dairy Queen.
Dairy
Queen.
I don't think there was
anything.
I don't think there was anything.
The 50s and 60s.
All right. That's where the loading area for the milk was.
Well, I mean.
And there was coal bins and grain bins and all that, but that had all gone by the 50s and 60s.
Well, those. Coal bins and
well, the coal
bins
were down further.
They were
the coal bin was down there where with
yeah,
the Reese on Brigham.
Right,
that's
that
another
was,
one.
That,
okay.
This, I'm talking about Nations.
Okay.
That was Brigham and Kimball's, I think.
Kimball's, right.
We're on Summer Street
yeah.
right now
right.
and Milk Street.
I don't remember.
What do you remember else from Milk on Milk Street then? Most
potato shop. that was...
Chase of paper?
No,
It was a plastic.
Well,
it was the plastic.
VR was there.
It was there when I saw, but I watched, that's where one of the factories that burned down.
The hat factory.
My mother used to work there. Yeah. And there was a tape factory across the street. They all burned at once.
1947.
Yeah, and I was, we were in school and we watched it burning and they finally let us out of school so that we but they were kind of nervous. And then VIAC was built.
Having talked to Rocky about that fire, there was not enough water in Westboro to work more than one fire truck. And no matter how many fire trucks came in to put out that fire, there was only enough water for one truck and two lines.
It was also very, very dry. Yeah. And I'm sure full of dust and lint and everything. And they went like mad.
And I said, when did you get it under control? Never got it.
And then just beyond the tape shop.
Well, where you're, Barry, you are?
Across the street. They're all both burned at the same time.
Yes, they did. But there's a tape shop, which is where there's a cellar hole right now. Right?
Yes, and then it was Kenner.
That was Chase Paper.
But that Chase Paper took it down.
That didn't burn down.
Chase Paper didn't.
That was demolished.
That was demolished.
There was
it was just the one across the street.
Courtney's
Dine is where Village Long
Island. It's where the pack.